take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians.
Now let me give you a little groundwork. It's got four chapters in it, 104 verses in the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians. And the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians when he was in jail in Rome. And the key word in the book of Philippians is joy. Joy or rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now, you say, what is the significance of that? Well, let me put it in perspective for you. Remember I told you, Paul is sitting in a Roman jail. You with me? And his key phrase throughout the whole book of Philippians is, rejoice. Joy. Look at verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with what? Joy. Look at verse 18. The end of verse 18. Rejoice ye and will rejoice. Look at the end of verse 25. Joy of faith. Chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy. All through it. Chapter 2, verse 16. Rejoice. Verse 17. Joy. Rejoice. Verse 18. Joy. Rejoice. Verse 28. Rejoice. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, I got a question for you tonight on Wednesday night. What's your problem? Paul is in jail. And he's gone through so much turmoil, so much trouble. He's been beaten. And the only thing that he can think of to write to the book of to the church of Philippi is, hey, y'all stay encouraged. Rejoice. Rejoice with one another. Encourage one another. Amen. Rejoice. What he's basically saying is, people, listen, if you are in jail, which obviously none of you are tonight, you may be tomorrow night, but you're not tonight. But if you are saved, your sins are forgiven, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven when you die. So guess what? Anything you're going through right now, anything you're going through or have gone through last month, that is the only hell you'll ever experience in your whole life. I mean, I know it's Wednesday night and all, but rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, no matter what you're going through. And the book of Philippians is that way. That's what he says. The book of Philippians. The key verse is, well, there's probably several. If you ask another different preacher or whatever, he'll say another key verse is this or whatever. And there's several. But one of the key verses is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And I've just quoted it a few minutes ago. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's the emphasis of the whole book of Philippians. Paul is in prison. He goes to prison in Acts chapter number 28 or thereabouts. You'll see him going to prison. Philippians, in the book of Acts, you've got what we call Acts epistles. You've got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. All were written during the period of Acts. During those periods. And then when you get to Acts 28, that's it. You know, the last chapter of Acts, Paul goes into prison. And then while in Roman prison, he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and so on. And, well, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Seven of them, I think, in a Roman jail. Now, let me just give you some groundwork. The Apostle Paul starts out in the book of Acts, his first missionary journey. He goes to the Corinthian church and so on and so forth. And then he comes back and he writes 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and he writes back to the church at Corinth. Paul goes into this town. He leads all these people to the Lord. You want to get saved? All right. And then he gets these people saved and starts a church in that area. That's the way it's supposed to be done.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. They're not just going to beat our door down. We've got to beat theirs down. And say, hey, you're going to heaven when you die. Okay. And then they start at church. You're going to an area that don't have a good Bible-believing church. Just because there's a church on every street corner does not mean there's a good Bible-believing church in that town. Just because it says church on the outside don't mean they're preaching the right thing. Just because a Bible's preacher's toting the Bible under his arm, and he's got a TV program, and he's got 5,000 sitting in the congregation, don't mean... The rock group Kiss could get a big crowd, but that didn't mean they was of the Lord. And anybody that would... I just feel like making somebody mad tonight, but if anybody that would paint their face up and kill a hog or kill something and shed blood all over the stage while they're singing, they got problems. And there's something going on the inside, and the devil's working on them. Oh, preacher, that's the coolest thing ever. You got problems too if you think that's cool. You've lost your mind if you think that's cool. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with the book of Philippians. Paul goes to this town. These people get saved. Start a church. Corinth, the church at Corinth. The church at Philippi. The church at Ephesus. The church at Colossians. The church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians. And so on and so forth. You're not going to believe. This is just introduction. I don't know how far we'll get with this. But take your Bible, and I want you to see three converts that the church of Philippi started out with. And it's found in Acts chapter number 16. Look at Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'll show you a couple of things here about how the church of Philippi got started. Acts chapter 16. All right, let's see. Let's look. Verse 7. Paul's on his second missionary journey. He's on his second trip. He's going through and starting churches, trying to lead people to Christ and all this kind of thing. He's starting his second missionary journey, verse 7. Afterward, they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. All right, now watch this very carefully. They wanted to go to a certain place, but the Spirit wouldn't let them. Now, is the Spirit against getting the gospel to these people over here? No, but you got to stay in God's will. So they couldn't get peace about it. They couldn't get peace about it, and so they passed by and then came over down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now Paul's getting this vision here. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to that place, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to what? Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out to the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Paul sits down. He goes down to where they're praying at. Obviously, they don't have a church building. They're meeting by the seaside down there. Some of the believers, I guess, or whoever they were. And he goes down and starts talking to them. Let's see. Verse number 14. Here's the first convert. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, and of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Verse 16. All right, the first convert is this woman, the seller of purple. Now, verse 16. Anytime you start getting people saved, the devil's going to show up. Verse 16. And it came to pass as it went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Well, what'd I tell you? Somebody got saved in 14 and 15. Well, here comes the devil. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. She was all into Harry Potter and them vampire books. And that's what she just did. She was all involved in that. Y'all with me? She watched Harry Potter. And she watched all the vampires and all that old stuff. She just had a spirit of divination, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She would sit in the town here, and she would sit out and she'd say, "Hey, give me $5, I'll tell you a fortune for you." And she'd give a portion of that to the city. Hallelujah. And the city, the mayor, and everybody's like, "Hallelujah, let her, if she's making money for the city, let her tell whatever she wants to tell." And you watch this. She's making all kind of money for the city. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us on the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of the same hour. Now watch. This woman done got saved. So when you get saved, the devil leaves, and you don't do the things you used to do anymore.
Amen.
And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, when the mayor said, "Well, why didn't you pay our little share this week? Why didn't you do that?" "Well, Mr. Mayor, I got saved. I don't do that stuff anymore. That's of the devil." And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas. "We finna get rid of these preachers." And drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And brought them into the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." They're getting people saved. They're shutting the beer joints down. And we don't like it. They're troubling our city. They're a bunch of troublemakers. I tell you what, listen, y'all, this ain't got nothing to do with Philippians, but you know what Holy Hills Baptist Church needs to be in Dyersburg, Tennessee? We need to be a bunch of troublemakers. Hallelujah. Turn the city upside down. If it ain't right, call it ain't right. Amen. And get them all stirred up. That's what I like. Verse 21, "And teach customs which are not lawful to us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." Paul and Silas is getting the beating for getting people saved. "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now wait. We done got this woman, the seller of purple. Her name is Lydia. Done got her saved. And now this old girl right here, possessed with the devil, she done got saved at Philippi.
Right.
And because of this woman that got saved had a spirit of divination, the city said, "We fix to throw y'all into jail. Y'all not going to mess our city up. We got a good thing going here. Y'all messing it up. Your preachers are messing it up." Now, if you don't think it's going to get back to that before the Lord comes, they're already saying that about us, those fundamentalists. We've already heard they say the worst thing that's ever happened to America is Bible-believing Christians. They're messing everything up. It's all in the Bible. You won't find it on the Discovery Channel. It's in the Bible already. History repeats itself, if you haven't figured that out. So, They said, all right, we're throwing them into jail. They threw them into a Philippian jail. Then, Paul and Silas started pouting. I can't believe the Lord has done us this way. Woe is us. Silas, have you ever seen such a mess? We serve the Lord, and this is how we get repaid. I tell you what, I ain't never serving the Lord no more. The Lord ain't going to help us no better than this. Now, that ain't in there. But that's the way a lot of us do. Including me now, including all of us. We might as well shake our head this way because we all guilty. And Paul and Silas' attitude is this. Okay, we got thrown in jail. Obviously, the Lord must be in this thing. He must be wanting us to witness to somebody where we're at. So let's start looking for somebody to witness to in here. Obviously, He threw us in here for a reason. Lord, we get the picture. We'll try to witness to everybody we come in contact with. So obviously, You put us in here for a reason. Obviously, You're going to try to start a church with a Philippian jailer. Obviously, Lord, You're going to try to start a church with a demon-possessed girl that got saved. Obviously, You're going to try to start a church with this girl, Lydia, that was a seller of purple, and she got saved. Obviously, Lord, You're trying to start a church around here, a good Bible-believing Christian, and so we're going to have to get people saved if we're going to do it. So You throwed us in jail, so we're going to witness to whoever. By the way, Silas, how about let's sing a song? And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's why Paul says, I can't quote the verse just right. He says, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Ain't this helping us on a Wednesday night? Yeah. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now they're in jail. Now you thought Elvis wrote the Jailhouse Rock. You thought Elvis wrote that. Jesus rocked the jail way before Elvis did. And the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light. He was so nervous, he lit him up a cigarette. That ain't in there either, but either way. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. Now, folks, I'm saying this is serious. Conviction takes place before salvation. He sprang and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, repent, be baptized, every one of you. Join the church. Find a priest and confess your sins to the priest. That guy that they call father, he dresses like mama, and he's not married. Go find... Amen. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And it goes for your whole house too. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour that night, washed their stripes, evidence of salvation, and was baptized, evidence of salvation. He and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. I think that's the theme of Philippians. Is it not? Rejoice, believing in God with all his house. And so on in the rest of the chapter. That's how the church of Philippi got started with three converts. One of them was a demon-possessed girl. One of them was a Philippian jailer that beat the tar out of Paul and Silas before they threw him in prison. And then after he got saved, he washed the stripes down. Amen. And this other girl named Lydia, who was a seller of purple. That's how the book of Philippians, or the church of Philippi, got started. Because Paul got thrown in jail. He was willing to do whatever it took. He found out that he was, whatever state he was in, he learned to be content. Whatever reason you got me in this situation, Lord, I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. Because Paul wrote this too. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. Paul wrote that too. Now, I go back to Philippians. That's just the introduction. That's how the church of Philippi got started. Now, obviously, this book is some time later. Obviously, this Philippian jailer and this demon-possessed girl and this Lydia lady, they done got this church up and going. They start telling other people about the Lord, and the church of Philippi got going. Well, Paul is in prison. And all he can think about in prison, I wonder how that church of Philippi is doing. Man, I think about them people all the time. You know, I remember the look on that Philippian jailer's face when he come in. He was about to kill himself. He thought he was finished. And I said, hang on, we're all here. And then he wanted to be saved. And we told him how to be saved. Boy, I miss him. That lady was demon possessed. I know we got thrown in jail because of her, but you know what? I'm glad she got saved. I'd take a beating, another beating, to see somebody else get saved. I mean, this is Paul, right? He's getting ready. He says, you know what? I'll fix to write him a letter. I'm in a bad state. I'm chained to this Roman guard here. And I think I'm just going to write the church of Philippi. I'm going to write them a letter. See how they're doing. I've been thinking about them. Been praying for them. I pray for them every day. You see that? Listen, folks. If we can grab that before we get home. You say, preacher, I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm depressed. Read the book of Philippians. Amen. Say, preacher, I'm going through rough. Read the book of Philippians. Just read it. You say, Paul, what is your medicine for depression? What is your medicine for deep, dark depression and just woe is me? Paul says, well, if I get down depressed, I start thinking of other people. I just start praying for other people. I don't even forget. I just forget about myself. I just start praying for other people. I start thinking about people I've led to the Lord and talked to, and I think about that Philippian jailer. And I start thinking about, and I just say, Lord, just bless them. I don't even know what they're going through, Lord. Forget about me being in jail. I ain't worried about that. But I don't know where they're at, but I'm thinking about them. I just wish you'd help them. You won't stay depressed long. I tell you what the best thing to do is, if you really want to know, drive up to La Bonner. That'll help you. I think then we'd come out and say what Paul said in Philippians. Rejoice, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord, always.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's what he said. I'm going to close right here because I don't want to get into the thing and have to mess it up and stop right in the middle of a verse or something. But look at this. Let me show you my favorite verse in all the Bible. I don't even know if I've ever told you, but when people ask me, sometimes they'll ask for a sign in their Bible. And this is the verse I use. It's what Paul said. All of these ain't my favorite. I'll tell you my favorite verse when I get to it. Verse 12. Well, you got to read verse 10. You can't jump in. But anyway, let's read verse 10. It's Paul talking. He's sitting in a Roman jail, dark, chained to somebody. Now, it's not like our jails around here. He don't have a television. He don't have all the amenities of life. Chapter 3, verse 10, he said, that I may know Him. I want to know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Being made comfortable under His, conformable unto His death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. And Paul's saying, here's something else we need to, especially us preachers, we need to realize. We haven't attained. We don't know everything. We're still learning. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. In other words, mature, whatever. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now watch verse 13. See, preacher, how do you stay on cloud nine? Well, I'll tell you. Verse 13. Brethren, saved people. He just said brethren. When he says brethren, he's talking to saved people. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't know everything. I have not attained everything. I haven't apprehended. I don't have any strongholds on God. But this one thing I do. Notice this one thing I do. I got this one thing on my mind. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Amen.
Some of y'all need to forget your past.
Right. Yeah.
The devil has tormented you with your past long enough.
Yeah.
You're never going to get victory if you don't get past your past. God has already forgiven you, if He has. If He's done forgiving you for it, it's under the blood. He's done forgot about it. He cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. So why don't you forget about it? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been thrown out. I don't remember them anymore. This one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, favorite verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. Preacher, what are we going to do tonight? We're going to rejoice on our way out of here.
Amen.
We're on our way to heaven.
Amen.
You're going through a rough place? Hey, pray for somebody else. Don't sit around and moat and grope. Lord, why you got me? Start praying. Think about somebody else. Pray for them. Think about Miss Monette lost her sister. She's up at the funeral home right now, visitation. Pray for her. Pray for her family. And some others are out in different things. Pray for them. We're fixing to have why do we come to prayer meeting? Bible study prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Listen, if you want to be able to walk out here and say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. We're fixing to have some prayer requests. And you start thinking about them people. God, forget about me. It's not about me. I want to lift these people up right now. God, you've got me in a situation. I don't know what you got me here for, but I'm going to witness my way out of here. I'm going to witness my way until the doors swing wide open. And I'll walk out of here. I don't know if y'all are getting that or not, but Paul says, rejoice. And forget about what state you're in. All things work together for good. Love God, them called according to His purpose. Just rejoice in the Lord. Forget about it. We're on the way to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. I'm in the body of Christ. I can't get out. I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
Heaven bound with a hammer down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hell anymore.
Yeah.
So whatever I'm going, that's all the hell I'll ever experience.
That's right. Yeah.
But you think about this. For a lost person that's not going to get saved, this is all the heaven they'll ever experience. Ain't that something? Paul said, rejoice. And again, I just want to repeat myself. And again, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, anyway. All right, that's the introduction. So maybe next Wednesday night we'll get a little further and maybe get into verse 1. All right, question, comment about that before we go into prayer request. I think about Brother Crawford. Many times I call him and, how you doing, Brother Crawford?
Doing good.
On the way up. You know how many times, Brother Crawford, I ain't told you this, but you know how many times I know some people that have been to visit you. There's some guys, and I'm not going to call their name because that's not important, but they came to your house to visit you, to encourage you. They left your house and came and told me they left your house more encouraged themselves. They were there to try to encourage you. You encouraged them. Hallelujah. Paul said rejoice. Just rejoice. We're on our way out of here anyway. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get to preaching it again in a minute. I'm just feeling a little rejoicing coming on. I mean, I'm Baptist and all, but we feel stuff every now and then. When you start feeling it, you just sort of enjoy it for a minute.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.